You know those headlines that make you stop scrolling and actually read an article? I'm Mike Rogers. Those are the kinds of stories I'm diving into on my podcast, Something Offbeat, like the caterpillar infestation in Maine that had us rethinking our relationship with insects.
We were talking about a time 300 million years ago, if you can imagine. There was a dragonfly. It had a 2-foot wingspan.
Just search for Something Offbeat in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You know those headlines that make you stop scrolling and actually read an article? I'm Mike Rogers. Those are the kinds of stories I'm diving into on my podcast, Something Offbeat, like the caterpillar infestation in Maine that had us rethinking our relationship with insects.
We were talking about a time 300 million years ago, if you can imagine. There was a dragonfly. It had a 2-foot wingspan.
Just search for Something Offbeat in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And away we go. Hour number 4 of our radio program. That's right. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life well. Rocket can. Make sure you follow along on Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb. Do so now. ZACHGELB. And always, you can hit us up 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS. 42-27, another excellent week in the NFL, depending on which team you root for. It all started off with that mayhem on Thursday night. We saw a crazy comeback in the Jets-Browns game. Lions hold on against the Commanders. The Lions now 1-1. Buccaneers were down 3-0. Then they score 20 unanswered points. They win the game 20-10. Giants are 2-0. What world are we living in? They beat the Panthers 19-16. The Patriots, welcome back to the win column. They defeat Mitch Trubisky and the Pittsburgh Steelers 17-14. Hickey's Indianapolis Colts. Hickey, I got to congratulate you. Excellent job. Wonderful job. You told me that the Colts weren't going to win, and you were right. Jaguars 24, Colts nothing. The mayhem that did occur up 35-14 entering the fourth quarter, and the Dolphins scored 28 points in that fourth quarter, win 42-38. Rams were up 28-3. They almost blew the game. They hold on. Jalen Ramsey with a big pick at the end, 31-27. 49ers, Seahawks, we'll get to the big Trey Lance injury coming up in just a second. They win 27-7. Cowboys showing some life, showing some toughness after I declared their season over last week. They beat the Bengals 20-17, and the Bengals are going to get Joe Burrow killed if they don't start blocking for him. Nathaniel Hackett is a disaster. He could be the worst coach in the league. Broncos survive against the Texans 16-9. That's the best way to say it. They didn't beat the Texans. They survived up against the Houston Texans. Raiders are up 20-0. They choked up that game. Kyler Murray was Superman up against the Raiders. They win 29-23. And the Packers on Sunday Night Football take care of the Bears. Rodgers against the Bears. Easy money. Packers win 27-10. And right now, as we are about to start the third quarter, Buffalo is up 17-7 against the Tennessee Titans, and the Eagles, early stages, still in this game, 3:19 left in the first quarter. They're up 7-0. Jalen Hurts has a rushing touchdown. He's about to take over inside his own 20-yard line at the 18 up against the Minnesota Vikings. Okay, the big story, well, there's a lot of big stories from yesterday. I'll actually say it's the biggest, though. Right, Hickey, would you agree with that? The biggest story from yesterday, even though we saw some crazy individual games, because it's a bigger picture talking point, is the Trey Lance injury. Was that the biggest story from yesterday? I would say so.
Yes.
And you look back at what did transpire, you have this whole offseason, is Trey Lance going to shine? He's going to be the starter. They made it clear that he was going to be the starter. They couldn't find a way to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Injury, lack of interest, them not wanting to take on, or them not wanting to receive basically nothing back for him and use him as an insurance policy, or the 49ers maybe just patiently waiting and saying, let's wait for someone else's quarterback to get hurt. Little did they know their own quarterback was going to get hurt. And unfortunately yesterday, and it stinks, because I don't think the evaluations were fair after one game, but you knew what it was going to be once you lose to the Bears. People are going to be looking to take him off the field. And I wanted to see how he's going to respond to adversity. I wanted to see what he was going to look like up against the Seattle Seahawks. And it's just horrible whenever you lose a player for a season. But I felt bad for Trey Lance yesterday when he's out for the year with an ankle injury, broke the ankle, already got surgery, as he did post a photo about it, talking about the comeback and all the adversity and the story that this is going to be. So I feel terrible for Trey Lance. But I will say, when you evaluate this, and it's weird, I'm not going to say that's good news because no one wants to ever see an injury happen. But when you look at it from a 49er standpoint, I think for this year, 49ers now are a better team with Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo is a more win-now quarterback this year than Trey Lance would have been. And I've been very critical of Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think you win a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo, but Jimmy Garoppolo knows how to win games with the San Francisco 49ers. Not that Trey Lance has been given a long enough opportunity yet, and he won't get it the rest of the year because of the injury, but we don't know what Trey Lance is going to be as a quarterback. And the other thing that stinks about this is he missed an entire year because of COVID, playing at North Dakota State when their season was in the spring. He had one game. Then last year, he only got two starts. And now he got, I guess you could say two starts, but he didn't even get through two games. So we're going to be going into year number three next year for Trey Lance and the 49ers, and we still don't know what he's going to be. So in the short term, yes, the 49ers having Jimmy Garoppolo improves their chances of making the playoffs this year than with Trey Lance. But when you drafted Trey Lance, it was done with him being the missing piece to the 49ers winning another Super Bowl because they thought he had so much upside and they thought he could be a great quarterback. And we will enter year three next year and we still don't know what Trey Lance is in the NFL. And if you think he's going to walk right in his first true year as a starter next year, coming off an injury as well, and show you a ton and show you a lot of bright spots, that's a tough sell for me. And you know how important that rookie contract is now, and we may not truly know what Trey Lance is until his fourth year in the league, which is a wild statement to make, but that's where we are right now after this injury yesterday. And now you get into the never-ending thought of if Jimmy G finds a way to win a Super Bowl this year, then what happens with Trey Lance? And I think off the injury, I know you invested a whole lot to go get him. You probably then would have to move on. And Jimmy G is in the final year of his contract, and you can't tag him. Remember that agreement. You cannot franchise tag him. I would guess Trey Lance is the starting quarterback next year for the San Francisco 49ers, but that team, and I know it's the Seahawks, so I don't want to get all crazy, but they just respond a different way when Jimmy Garoppolo is in at quarterback. Ryan, what do you make of this? Because my heart breaks for Trey Lance. Now, for the 49ers, it's weird to say, but it's better that Jimmy G is starting for you. Just for this year, if your goal is to win the most football games possible, but that's not why you brought in Trey Lance. You understood what the process was going to be, and that keeps on getting kicked down the road last year, now this year, and then we'll see what happens next year.
Which is why, really, I would categorize this season for the 49ers as, outside of winning a Super Bowl, a failure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is just no matter. Even making the playoffs doesn't really matter because, like you said, your goal for this year is to find an answer on Trey Lance and just hope, can he show enough signs for us to be the guy for the next decade?
Yeah.
And you are not going to get any of those answers, obviously, this year.
And now, since health has been an issue, or it will be considered as something that did occur, if Jimmy, and I don't think this is going to happen, but I also didn't think the 49ers last year were going to be in an NFC title game. Let's just say if the 49ers don't even make the Super Bowl, but they lose in the NFC title game once again. Are you moving on from a quarterback that then at the time would have been to a Super Bowl and then two other NFC title games? Like, let's just say they repeat what happened last year where they get to the NFC title game. What do the 49ers do when Jimmy G is in a walk year again?
I mean, same thing just did last offseason, right?
You think that'd be the case? That would be then three times you get to an NFC title game with this guy?
But if you believe that he's getting by more with how good the team is around him than anything else, then that's where you move it on in the first place, right? Because you'd think Trey Lance provides you a higher ceiling, meaning you can win more games and get to the elite level faster and for longer than with Jimmy G. So it's almost not irrelevant, but it's like if you get to the NFC title game again this year, but he plays, Jimmy G, that is, the same way he played last year, where maybe a throw or two here and there, but for the most part, it's the running game, it's the defense that's carrying them there. What's the difference?
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that this 49ers roster is bad. This is a very good roster. But it sometimes gets talked about like it's a top three roster in the league. I don't even love Jimmy Garoppolo as a quarterback. And I know it's because of injuries now, but Jeff Wilson Jr. is this team's starting running back. Like, Deebo Samuel was a phenomenal player last year, and I think he'll continue to be a phenomenal player, and you paid him to be a phenomenal player. Kittle's getting older. He's banged up a lot as well. The offensive line, Trent Williams isn't getting any younger, and they were bad in week one. Defensively, they're good. You know, Nick Bosa is a heck of a player. But when does Jimmy Garoppolo start to get... Like, if they get to another NFC title game, don't you have to start giving Jimmy Garoppolo credit? This roster is good, but it's not a top three roster in the NFL. I wouldn't even say right now it's a top five roster in the NFL. Jalen Hurts, holy smokes, just threw a bomb. Wide open, Quez Watkins, but that was a bomb. A missile by one Jalen Hurts. That was impressive, 53-yard strike. Get him back to Garoppolo. Can he do anything other than win a Super Bowl than to finally get the credit in San Francisco?
Probably not, unless he actually plays better. Unless he's like the reason why you're winning.
That's a tough sell, though, to the fan base. Because last year was unexpected. But then if that becomes consistency where he makes the NFC title game again, don't you gonna owe it to the rest of the guys in the locker room to just then rock and roll with Jimmy G? Because I don't know the timeline. They said they expect him to have a full season next year. There's a setback. I know you got to make that decision to even bring back Jimmy G or not because you can't franchise tag him. And then if you can't franchise tag him, remember, there'll be then, if Jimmy G gets an NFC title game, someone will give Jimmy G a shot. So then from a price standpoint, even though Trey Lance on a rookie deal, it's going to be tough to bring back both quarterbacks. And if you then pay Jimmy Garoppolo like a 3-4 year deal, you almost then just have to cut ties then with Trey Lance and try to get back some draft capital, and you give up a whole lot of draft capital to get him. Odds are the 49ers won't be in the NFC title game again. Odds are Trey Lance is going to be the starting quarterback next year for the San Francisco 49ers, but I'll just throw that out there. If they get to the NFC title game again, that will be then three NFC title games they've been there with Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterback. There's going to be some fans that are going to say, man, we got to stick with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, I lived through it in Philadelphia. I was covering the Eagles then. As Jalen Hurts is currently 10-10 for 154 yards and a touchdown, also has a rushing touchdown. I lived in Philadelphia when it was the Carson Wentz-Nick Foles debacle. And I know they won a Super Bowl, so it's weird to then say debacle. But after that, the next year, Nick Foles started the first two games. Then Carson Wentz came back. Remember, they gave up all that draft capital to go get him. They made two trades to get up into that number two pick spot. And I thought it was the right move to roll with Carson Wentz because Nick Foles hasn't shown you enough in the NFL. Yes, he was great in those two games, played the best two games of his life. But anytime he's been asked to be the long-term starting quarterback of the Eagles, did not pan out all that well. But that year, Wentz gets hurt again, and then Foles, down the stretch, did play well. You won a playoff game, the double doink. Cody Parkey was the kicker. And after that, Alshon Jeffrey, ball hit off his hands into the defender of the Saints. They could have been back in the NFC title game. And that was a huge hot-button topic in Philadelphia. And I thought the right move was to go with Carson Wentz. And they went with Carson Wentz, and it didn't work out. Not like Nick Foles has done anything ever since. But for Jimmy G, then, it's not just, hey, you get to a Super Bowl, and then you get to a divisional round. This guy's been to a Super Bowl. And then if you get to another NFC title game after getting to one last year, back-to-back NFC title games, that's, I know he'd be a free agent, but that could be a very hairy situation. And remember, John Lynch gave up the draft capital to go get Trey Lance, and there was a lot of questions about if Trey Lance was the right draft pick at that moment. A lot of people, we were debating, Hickey, we got into it big time. Fields or Mac Jones, we weren't even thinking Trey Lance. Chris Sims, who is Kyle Shanahan's best friend, said Mac Jones first. That's why they made this move. That's what Chris Sims said. And then Trey Lance just shot up the draft board. So, you know what? I'm actually hoping. I like chaos. That doesn't involve my team. I'm hoping Jimmy G gets the 49ers to an NFC title game this year. Now, if he wins a Super Bowl, what happens? We're talking about NFC title game. They get to the Super Bowl, and let's say they win the Super Bowl, and Jimmy G plays well. What do the 49ers do this offseason, Ryan?
A little bit tough of a predicament there.
It's not a bad problem to have because you won a Super Bowl. But I will say, we also don't know how much Kyle Shanahan really loves Trey Lance. Was he talked into the draft pick, or was that the guy that he wanted? That is still a great unknown in the way that I've read about this and heard about this conversation. And then does there become a little internal struggle between Shanahan and John Lynch? Got to get to a Super Bowl first. You got to win a Super Bowl first, but go Niners. I want to see all this chaos go on down this year in the National Football League. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You know those headlines that make you stop scrolling and actually read an article? I'm Mike Rogers. Those are the kinds of stories I'm diving into on my podcast, Something Offbeat, like the caterpillar infestation in Maine that had us rethinking our relationship with insects.
We were talking about a time 300 million years ago, if you can imagine. There was a dragonfly. It had a 2-foot wingspan.
Just search for Something Offbeat in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We have a great game in Philadelphia. So the Eagles go up 14-0. Jalen Hurts, rushing touchdown. Jalen Hurts, 50-plus yard bomb to Quez Watkins. Hurts, in this contest, 10-10. For 153 yards and a touchdown through the air. Also, 3 carries for 7 yards and a rushing touchdown. Vikings just answered back very quickly. KJ Osborne, nice little reception. Irv Smith Jr. then gets the 2-yard touchdown. So it is Eagles 14, Vikings 7. I know it's early. I've always been a big fan of Jalen Hurts. I love the way that he handled adversity when getting pulled for Tua Tagovailoa at halftime of that national championship game. And then the next year, he stayed at Alabama. And in the SEC title game, Tua got hurt. He then got on the field, beat Georgia in the SEC title game. Then he goes to Philadelphia. And it wasn't fair to him that he got drafted in the second round to Philadelphia when Carson Wentz was already there. But it ended up being the right move because Carson Wentz stinks. And Jalen Hurts, who we always known as a consummate professional, he's always been doubted. And this is a guy last year that was 9-8, but that playoff game, you wonder how far he could take them. To start this year, and I know it's against the Lions to start off the year, and we haven't even seen the conclusion of this game, but through the first game and almost a half, Jalen Hurts, if you draft him in fantasy football, you're jumping up and down like a fat kid in a candy store. But Jalen Hurts is showing that he's a damn good quarterback. I'm not going to say franchise quarterback. I'm not going to say great quarterback because I still got to see more. But the early returns, Ryan, very prematurely into this season, he's showing the type of player that he could be and how explosive of a threat he could be on a football field.
He has, and the big thing with him and the big thing we'll find out this season is, right, consistency. We know whether it's at Alabama, Oklahoma, or the Eagles, he can make high-level plays, he can make high-level throws and high-level runs. The thing for him is, can he do it consistently? 4, 5, 6 times a game, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games in a row.
And if they win this game tonight, they would start the year off 2-0. Next week, this could be... Maybe I'll hype this game up more than it will nationally. Wentz Hurts at Landover, Maryland, which you know would be an Eagles home game. Commanders fans don't show up. And then after that, Jacksonville Jaguars. The Eagles win this game, and this game's far from over. They could very well be on their way to a 4-0 start to the season.
Very well could. Or, like, to go the other way, too.
They
could
lose tonight.
Even if Hurts plays well, but you lose to Carson Wentz or have Carson Wentz outplay you next week, you know Philly fans very well. That good energy that they have right now will turn very quickly.
Oh, yeah. If they lose next week to Carson Wentz, that could turn very quickly. But have you seen that Commanders defense? It's awful.
Not good. Not good.
People say who's going to be the first coach to get fired, and when you say that, you usually think it's going to be a head coach. I'll factor in offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators in that conversation. If Jack Del Rio makes it through the season, I'll be very surprised. That Commanders defense stinks. And also, I don't know about you. I think the Carson Wentz hype is a little bit too much for the first games, two games of the season. Everyone just shows the stats, and he puts up these big, prodigious passing numbers. He had two awful interceptions in game one against the Jaguars. And then up against the Detroit Lions, which, no offense, I know everyone loves the Lions from Hard Knocks. They were down in a mega hole to start that game. I think the Carson Wentz numbers are a little bit oversaturated, let's just say. Because he has 7 touchdowns for the first 2 weeks of the season. He also has 3 interceptions. That dude's a turnover machine. And you know it now better than anybody. Because I tried to be a good friend and just simply alert you of what was going to happen. You know it better than anybody that Carson Wentz, if he gets to a big moment with the Commanders, is going to be choking it up.
His credit did have 2 clutch fourth quarter touchdowns. But part of the reason why they needed those touchdown passes last week is exactly right.
And it's against the Jaguars.
He threw 2 bad passes. No,
trying to play up the Jaguars because your team just laid an egg up against them. But it's Jaguars.
I'm agreeing with you.
Trayvon Walker, that was his first game. It was the easiest interception he's going to get of his career.
Yes. I agree. Well, yesterday, forget it. I mean, that the scores and the box score is so deceiving with that Lions game and that Lions defense.
And you know what? That SOB made me thinking they were going to backdoor cover because I got them at +2. I thought for a moment there was going to be a backdoor cover.
Oh, so you were a Wentz believer yesterday.
No, that's why you're
so upset today.
I was not a Wentz believer.
That's why.
I was not a Wentz. I didn't put any money on the game. It was just in the picks. I was not a Wentz. Actually, I threw in one parlay the Commanders in there. So actually, that was a lie. But I did throw the Commanders in a parlay. But it's not that I was believing in Wentz. I was believing in my bet. I was wishful thinking.
That had to do with Carson Wentz playing at least good enough to keep them close.
It's weird because I used to really like Carson Wentz. There's no bigger hater on national radio right now of Carson Wentz than yours truly. I could guarantee you with that statement.
I mean, rightfully so.
And as much as I love Jason Wright and Ron Rivera, how arrogantly they celebrated that move thinking they have their franchise quarterback. It's just one of those moves where I just can't wait to see it fail. Because I don't get how they trust that guy and save your team's ass in terms of the draft capital they gave up. But let's be real. Yesterday for the Colts, you may have wanted Carson Wentz back on the field with what Matt Ryan's looking like. He's a statue back there.
Well, with that second round pick, they could get, you know, they might need that trade up to get a quarterback next year. So thank you very much.
At this rate, your team, you could be picking in the top 5. Well, I don't think that'll be the case.
Closer to that than the playoffs right now.
Talking about the AFC South stinking. Tennessee's down 24-7 to Buffalo. Now, no game is over. That's what we learned yesterday in the NFL. No game is over until it's all zeros across the game clock. But Buffalo, again, just looking like a dominant force. And I don't know how you stop Josh Allen. Josh Allen, 23-32 for 296 yards and 3 passing touchdowns. There's 8:22 left in the third quarter. Stephon Diggs already has 10 receptions for 128 yards and 2 touchdowns. The greatest coach of all time, Bill Belichick, did not have an answer for Josh Allen in the playoffs. They did not punt in that game. I don't know who's going to have an answer for Josh Allen in the NFL this year, Ryan. And we talked about San Francisco, how Jimmy G, you got to go win a Super Bowl, and I don't think that will happen. But for the Buffalo Bills, anything short of a Super Bowl victory this year is a disaster of a season. I know their general manager, when he came on the show, wouldn't say it. But it is Super Bowl or bust for the Buffalo Bills. Now, I could also say real quickly, sure. I need a rushing touchdown here by Josh Allen. was that a muff punt?
Yes, by the Titans.
So I did a parlay. Derrick Henry, you said, had a rushing touchdown in this game. I did a parlay. Derrick Henry rushing touchdown and Josh Allen rushing touchdown. So I have the Derrick Henry touchdown. He could catch one, too. It's anytime touchdown for Josh Allen. So they want to do a little trickery, dial that up. But let's go punch it in here and get Josh Allen a touchdown, hit that parlay. And then if KJ Osborne wants to score to complement the Jalen Hurts in a different parlay, anytime touchdown, I'll gladly take that as well.
You're probably going to need it here, by the way.
I'm just saying, I need it here.
24-7, ball to 20. If they score a touchdown, it's not Josh Allen, you're in trouble. Because they're not going to run Josh Allen again. Or if they do, Sean McDermott should be fired. You can't be running them down.
You are not allowed for 2 years to say that Sean McDermott should be fired because last year you told me your boy Frank Reich was a better coach than Sean McDermott. I guess they have some. You still stand by that?
So I stood by that last year. I stood by that. This year, not looking great. Not looking good at all.
They have something in common. Neither of those teams can beat the Jaguars.
That's true. That's where they both will break bread and cry over the Jaguars owning them.
Yeah. Man, I think your three worst takes ever. Sean McDermott is better than Frank Reich. You then also said Carson Wentz is better. You said Frank Reich is better than Sean McDermott. You then said Carson Wentz is better than Josh Allen. And then you also said that Nathaniel Hackett's going to be the coach of the year conversation this year. It's tough to keep up with your takes, but I think those are your three worst takes ever.
Yeah.
You said the Colts were going to win the division last year. You were arrogant about it, but they had a chance to win the division.
Should have.
It's a 50-50 in that division. Now, by the way, Marco Belletti is here. Marco, it's our weekly chat about Nathaniel Hackett. And they won. But everyone's talking about it like it's a loss.
Yeah, it's not a loss because, you know, wins are important. But still not looking good.
Yeah.
Still not looking good. And you know what? And it's not just Nathaniel Hackett. It's also Russell Wilson. You know what? I mean, really, are we going to start getting on him where you look at it and go,
100% right.
Maybe he's not as good as we thought he was in the last few years. Maybe it's coming to an end a lot faster than we thought.
Brian McFadden joined us earlier, and he said he's not looking like a superstar quarterback right now. He's not looking like a top 10 quarterback right now, and that's alarming, not only because of the draft capital that you gave up, but maybe, now I don't like their options at quarterback, but maybe old man Pete Carroll and that organization, we should give him a little bit extra credit. It's early.
Yeah.
But they...
Well, it's early, they and they also have Geno Smith. So
yes.
It's not like, you know,
100%.
We got rid of him because we knew what we had. You got rid of him because you didn't want him, but you had no plan besides Russell Wilson. So
yes.
I'm not gonna go that far.
I'm not throwing him flowers, but maybe that's pretty telling when everyone says, what the bleep? Why didn't you want this guy anymore? And you basically let him walk out of town.
Again, because he was skating on the idea that the Seahawks moved the football and never seemed to put up points. And now in two games with Denver, they move the football. They don't seem to put up a lot of points. And that's a problem. You got to finish off drives. I mean, they move from the 20 to 20, it seems like, with ease. They make mistakes. He doesn't seem to hit the guy in the right spot. It's just, look, it's 2 weeks, so you can't get nuts. It's a new spot. It's a new organization. It's a new playbook. So you got to give him a little bit of time. But it's alarming that it looks very, very similar to what it looked like when it wasn't working in Seattle.
Did you hear Andrew Catalan yesterday?
I did not, no.
Oh, okay. Let me, very rarely, right? Like, you have network announcers that will go after coaches and all the time, but it's not necessarily like over the top or anything. And
right.
And usually, like, guys like Nance could get away with anything.
Justifiable.
Kevin Harlan.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, nothing against Andrew Catalan. He's just very good at his job.
Very good.
But he doesn't have the name and the presence yet of a Nance, a Harlan, an Ian Eagle, and whatsoever. I thought Andrew Catalan yesterday was brilliant because he did it in just such a simple way, but he spoke for the fan, what the fans were thinking, and that's what I think our job is as a media, is to try to speak for your fans, and you have to give your opinion, and not everyone's going to agree with you, but he basically made it seem like he was the viewer on the couch reacting to it instead of being the broadcaster and being on like an all-high-mighty perch. Let's do a little montage here. This is Catalan with some of the brilliant Nathaniel Hackett, coach of the year, according to Hickey, decisions.
It's Beck. Fakes the pitch and shoved down, and that's a questionable call.
The defense like that.
I mean, you got Javonte Williams, who's running for 6.7 yards per carry, and you hand it off to a guy for just the second time in his career, and now he's going to attempt a field goal with McManus. And the play clock is winding down quickly because there was some indecision again. Play clock at one. And a whistle. And what happened first? Delay a game or timeout?
Delay a game.
Wow.
Offense.
That's brutal.
5-yard penalty. Fourth down.
That is absolutely brutal. Two delay a game penalties on Monday night in Seattle, and a crusher right there. They give the sack to Draymond Jones, and Lovey Smith will punt with Cameron Johnston. And there was no punt returner back for Denver, and they had to call a timeout. Unbelievable. 6 for 6, play clock expiring, and a timeout called by Denver. Out of timeouts with 7:38 to go in the ball game. I mean, between the clock management, the penalties, red zone, goal to go, it has been a real rough start for Nathaniel Hackett.
Now, I didn't catch that the first time, but I just heard it again. When they burn the timeout because there's no punt returner back,
yeah,
someone in the background, I don't know if it's a fan, someone on the sideline, someone maybe a spotter in the booth goes.
Right, it could be a hot mic, yeah.
What's going on out there?
That's a problem.
That's
a major problem.
Yeah.
And you know what? Catalan's spot on with all of that. And none of it to me is over the top.
No.
And none of it's just, he's calling the game. He's not doing his job if he doesn't tell you all those things.
When he said indecision, you could hear the disgust in his voice. And I loved it.
Yeah. You know what? But that's what it is, though. I mean, you got to do a better job than that. And I get it that it's early in your coaching career, but
he doesn't look ready for the moment.
You know what? Like, what exactly are you prepared for if you're not ready for game day and those decisions? And that's, unfortunately, yeah, that's part of it where you're like, well, coordinators get locked into, they're calling plays and they don't look at any other, yep, aspect of the game. You're not calling the plays. You're not looking at the other. You need to have the broad picture. And if you can't figure that out, then you know what? I mean, I hate to do the Herm Edwards. Go hire a time guy. He did that with the Jets because he couldn't figure out when to call timeouts and when not. He hired somebody to do it. If that's what you need in your headset to go, coach, we need a timeout here, or coach, we don't have a returner on the punt. Like, get whoever you need to get in your headset, but get a clue and get a grip here.
Yeah, it's absolutely brutal. There's no doubt about it. And the problem now is everyone's aware of it. And even the fans are counting down the play clock yesterday.
That, I saw that. That's awful.
So
I
mean, it's becoming a mockery and a joke. And now we're all going to be looking for the next Nathaniel Hackett mistake, where maybe if it's something that's slight, is going to turn into something bigger than what it is. But so far, everything has been accurate and he's been crushed accordingly, the way that decisions have been that brutal.
And you know as well as I do that the narrative is going to be more important than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Once the narrative is written that you don't know what you're doing,
yeah,
now everybody just assumes that, and that's what it is until you basically, he's going to have to win the division and win a playoff game to get some of this stuff off. And even that, he's going to have to make major decisions, which coaches don't necessarily make in games that they win. This is not good because the narrative, once it gets written, it is very, very difficult to get that stink off of you.
We've all seen horrible coaching. We've all had an incompetent coach for whatever team you root for, mm-hmm, whether it's NFL, baseball, hockey, basketball. I've never seen two games like this. He better make the playoffs this year. This guy's going to get one and done.
The only thing that I would say is you got a
new owner.
Brand new owners that, you know, is, I mean, the Walmart family, is Roger Goodell, like, do they really care? You know what I mean? Like, you're walking in. That was not a good first impression. So right off the bat, you don't even know who the commissioner is. He's introducing you in your own press conference. Does he care? You know what I mean? So, like, it's the idea, like, I can't go that far to automatically say, oh, yeah, they're going to be so fed up with it. Do they even know what's going on?
Well, you know who he better win over? Than Russell Wilson. Because if Russ then says, this guy's got to go, then he's screwed.
Yes, except for, does Russell Wilson ever do that stuff in reality? Like, I know he does it behind closed doors, and he says
that's
it to
fair.
People that...
Tries to be everyone's friend.
Right. Does Russell Wilson actually have the guts to stand up and say, you know what, this isn't working, I'm not doing this, we need to figure this out? He doesn't strike me like that. Now, he may say it, you know, with his mouth closed, talking to whoever, when no one's paying attention. That's not good enough for me. That's passive aggressive, and that's the narrative on Russ right now, so he would need to get rid of that. It's the rest of the locker room. do they look around and go, what the hell are we doing here?
If I was a player, I would be.
That's a problem. Mm-hmm. When you lose the locker room, you don't get it back. I mean, yeah. They're grown men. Once they make their decision on you, it's really hard to win them back over. You've had plenty of time now, week two, but you've had them all training camp, all preseason. They don't trust you. So does he lose the players in the locker room? Russell Wilson would be the biggest cog, except I don't know.
If that's in Russ's personality.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say other than, like, guts. Like, does Russell Wilson seriously have the guts to stand up and say, this is not going to work for me? I don't know if he does. And the longer that he stays in the background and the more you got first-year owners that really don't care, he might get plenty of chances to screw up. And that's scary if you're a Bronco fan.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Oh, my God. We're back.
Wrapping
again.
Up shop on a very busy Monday. Eagles up 21-7. Jalen Hurts with a passing touchdown of 50-plus yards, two rushing touchdowns. Now is the ball back with 121 to go. And the Bills are up 34-7 against the Tennessee Titans. So much for this being somewhat of a game and maybe a backdoor cover happening. This is blowout city. I don't know how you stop Josh Allen right now. 26 of 38, 317 yards and four touchdowns. We haven't even got to the fourth quarter yet. And then you have Stephon Diggs with three receiving touchdowns. All righty, let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
This has been a wild year for App State. I know they lost the first game of the season to UNC, but it was a crazy back-and-forth game, 63-61. Then they beat Texas A&M in College Station 17-14. Had College Game Day coming to their city, and you thought, it's going to be a disappointing ending. And then the Hail Mary happened. Let's listen up to the Appalachian State Radio Network.
Three-man rush. Chase going to step up in the pocket. Sets. Throws high into the air. It's up for grabs. It is juggle.
Oh, he got it!
No clue what happened, but it brings a smile to my face. That was awesome. Give a stock up to App State. Blake Corum of Michigan, five rushing touchdowns up against UConn. Give him a stock up. Urban Meyer, disgraced coach last year in the NFL, has done a lot of bad things we know in the past. He knows how to win football games in college, it's not the NFL. So that's why a lot of times things off the field gets ignored in college. He goes to Nebraska. All the fans wanted to be an ex-head football coach. So much for a stained image. Stock up to Urban Meyer. Heck of a job by Washington with Kalen DeBoer and Michael Penix just destroying Michigan State. Give them both a stock up. You know I like to see Kalani Sitake have some success at BYU. I was not expecting, though, Oregon to dominate the Cougars. They did so 41-20, and Bo Nix, 13 of 18 for 222 yards and two touchdowns, and that was just through the air. On the ground, he had not one, not two, but three rushing touchdowns. Bo Nix, he's back for now. Give him a stock up. Hickey, tell me about your guy, Nicholas Singleton. I'll give you a few moments. I know you went to Auburn.
Best player in college football in 2 years from now. He's going to be really good.
All right, give me a stock down to hot take Hickey, what? Just for that take. The best player in college football, but Nicholas Singleton had a great game up against Auburn. Give him a stock up. Kyler Murray put the team on his back, down 20-0, on the verge of an 0-2 start, and he just made plays. That's why you paid him the money for what he, if he can do that more consistently, that's why you paid him the money, but give him a stock up. Aiden Hutchinson, 3 sacks, Lions 1-1, give him a stock up. The New York Football Giants are 2-0. Yes, the Giants are 2-0. Stock up. The Anthony Richardson hype train. After the Utah game, it's slowing on down. 2 picks against Kentucky, and then had 2 picks up against South Florida, even in a win, and has not had a passing touchdown since then. Give Anthony Richardson a stock down. Browns, Ravens, and the Raiders. You should all be ashamed of yourselves. Raiders blew a 20-point lead. Browns blew a 13-point lead with 1:21 to go. And the Baltimore Ravens are up 34-14 in the fourth quarter and lost to the Dolphins. Stock down all around. Frank Reich deserves to be fired. You lose to Jacksonville last year. Revenge game. You get blanked. You get down 24-0. Hickey, say it with me. Fire Frank. Fire Frank. Fire Frank. Fire Frank. You ready to join the bandwagon?
No.
Loser. Stock down, Frank Reich. Keep on enjoying being a loser, Hickey. And finally, Nathaniel Hackett. This guy just sucks. Do I have to say any more? No. Stock down. And that is the quickest edition of the closing bell that you'll ever see. We just tried to fit 100 pounds of crap in a 50-pound suitcase. The Eagles may get more points before the end of the half. Hurts with a completion. They have a timeout. You got to take it. And they do, so they'll probably be kicking a field goal here as they have a chance to go up 24-7. And did Ryan Tannehill throw a pick six?
That he did.
To Matt Milano. Of Comac, New York.
That's right. The best Long Island football player we've seen in a while.
Yeah, making since us me.
Look good.
Bills up 41-7. You got to pull Josh Allen. Why even play him the rest of the game? It's 41-7.
Malik Willis is in for the Titans. They pulled Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, I see that right now. They just put him in. Okay. Uh-oh. I want to see Malik Willis play well so the Titans can win the South, because I don't know if they're doing so with Tannehill. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye. Peace.
You know those headlines that make you stop scrolling and actually read an article? I'm Mike Rogers. Those are the kinds of stories I'm diving into on my podcast, Something Offbeat, like the caterpillar infestation in Maine that had us rethinking our relationship with insects.
We were talking about a time 300 million years ago, if you can imagine. There was a dragonfly. It had a 2-foot wingspan.
Just search for Something Offbeat in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You know those headlines that make you stop scrolling and actually read an article? I'm Mike Rogers. Those are the kinds of stories I'm diving into on my podcast, Something Offbeat, like the caterpillar infestation in Maine that had us rethinking our relationship with insects.
We were talking about a time 300 million years ago, if you can imagine. There was a dragonfly. It had a 2-foot wingspan.
Just search for Something Offbeat in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.